So the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. Brother James, what time would you like me to finish? 12:30, okay. Acts chapter 26 and verses 26 to chapter 26 verse 18 through verse 16 through verse 18. Acts chapter 26 verse 16 through verse 18. سفر الأعمال 26 عدد 16 ل 18. But God, the Lord Jesus is speaking to Apostle Paul. He said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins in the inheritance and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. When the word witness in Arabic and the word witness and martyr are almost synonymous. The word shahid, shahid are almost the same word. So the word witness in the Arabic language imply also being a martyr. So when I was preparing my sermon, I wondered, what does the word witness in English mean? So I went to Unger's Bible Dictionary, and to my excitement, I saw that one of the definition, a witness is the one willing to die for the sake of the gospel. A witness is a person willing to die for the sake of the gospel. Now, that's exactly what Paul meant in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, does it mean because you are a witness that you have to die? The answer is no, that's not the idea. The idea is that if you are a witness of Christ, you must be willing to die for the cause of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Perhaps another definition of the witness, we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says, "As dying, and behold, we live." So if you are born again, if you are saved by the blood of Christ, Jesus called upon you and He said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." Now, He didn't say pastors be witnesses unto me. He didn't say missionaries be witnesses unto me. But this command is for every born again child of God to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to look at the characteristics. If we are witnesses, then what kind of characteristics we need to have? Number one, a witness must have the correct vision. A witness must have the correct vision. Many times, we base our vision on our experience. Sometimes we base it on the experiences of others. Sometimes we base our vision on our feelings. But our vision must be based on the Word of God. To be good witnesses for the Lord, we need to look at the world through the scope of the Word of God. Now, why should we do that? Because if you look at the world, you're going to be discouraged. For example, let's look at Europe. Right now, in the European Constitution, it says that that the Europeans right now consider themselves as post-Christian continent. In other words, what the Europeans are saying is that they are accusing Christianity of being behind every war and every violence. As a matter of fact, the European, literally, Europe want God out of their continent and out of their mind. And when you read that, we definitely will tend to become discouraged. Now, I know this is Canada, not America, but you know, America is our neighbor. Here is something very interesting. When people look from outside at the United States, what do they see? There is a gentleman by the name of Ghali, and he is an Egyptian analyst. He wrote an article about America. This is what he said. He said, many think that Biden is dumb and ignorant, and that this ignorance, his ignorance, is wrecking the U.S. economy. They are saying also that the Trudeau of Canada and the French President Macron economic policies are the result of ignorance and leading their nation and European nations to economic recession. None of what these leaders are doing is the result of stupidity or ignorance. The economic recession and inflation is intended to create a one liberal economic order. Their policy is to destroy conservative ideology and consider them terrorists, abolish the middle class, at the same time promoting abnormality and opening the door to illegal immigration in USA and massive Islamic immigration in Canada. Their objective is to change the demography in every Western nation and ending nationalism. Once nationalism is vanished, then the government will be able to control everyone. They want to follow the footsteps of Europe and remove God from the American continent. You know, when we hear this and we see what's going on, we will get discouraged. But to have the correct vision, we need to look at the Word of God. Now, what does the Word of God say? In Book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 6, says, yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. What the Bible is saying is that God has appointed his son as the eternal king. Now the world may not know that or may not know him, but he is the eternal king. And as witnesses, it's our duty to go into the world, into our community, and introduce the Lord Jesus to them. A few years ago, I received a call from a church in Ireland, and they asked me to come to Ireland in order to speak in a conference in Ireland. As I landed at the airport in Dublin, the gentleman who was waiting for me in the car, he picked me up, and as we were driving from the airport to my hotel where I was supposed to stay, this brother looked at me and said, Brother Figali, I would like to let you know that the Irish people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Irish people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that statement remained in my mind. In the middle of the conference, the speakers and the participants were invited to go door to door and witness to the people. With this in mind, I went knocking at doors and speaking with different Irish families. Now, when Sunday came and we had to stand up and report on what we saw during the visitation, I stood up and said, you know, this is what I heard when I came to Ireland. But as I was talking with the people, my conclusion is that the Irish people did not reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I said, do you know why? They said, why? I said, because they don't know who Jesus Christ. What they know is the Catholic Church. They rejected the Catholic Church. And what an opportunity we have to go and introduce the Lord Jesus unto them. You know, God says, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. The God appointed his son as the eternal king. They may hate God, they may reject God, but that will not change anything or affect God's decision. In the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 8, God says, ask of me, God the Father is speaking to God the Son, and through His Son speak to us. He says, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathens for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. You know, nothing the wicked can do to change God's plans or to stop the gospel. You and I know, if you read the Bible, that this earth is doomed. And we know that what will happen at the end, because God gave us the final chapter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Nothing should affect our determination to stop the gospel, to carry the gospel and share the word of God with the people. Now, here's another fact that we as children of God need to know. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that's what the Bible says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know that verse. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, what is the Bible saying here? It's simply saying some will hear the gospel and will repent, and others will hear the gospel and they will reject God. And we see this happening in our communities, in our societies, in the media, whether in Canada or America. But what the Bible is saying, it doesn't change anything, because every human being that walked on the face of the earth, sooner or later, is going to bow before the Lord Jesus and acknowledge Him as the Lord, to the glory of the Father. You either accept Him as your Savior and bow before Him as the Lamb of God, but later, if you reject the Lamb of God, you're going to meet Him as the Lion of Judah, and still you have to bow before the Lord. You know, some people today have taken advantage of the gospel of the Lord. If you were here during the first service and heard the testimony of Brother Kareem, what a blessing it is. He took advantage of the gospel and met Him as the Lamb of God. But others are going to meet Him as the Lion of Judah, and they will be judged. You know, there was a brother, there is a gentleman living in Greece. He was the leader of the Communist Party in Greece. One day this gentleman decided to write a book, and the idea of the book is that Jesus and Karl Marx are the similar. They both are teachers. So he decided to buy the gospel, the New Testament, and he began to read the life and the times of the Lord Jesus and the philosophy, the teaching of Christ. And the more he studied about the Lord Jesus, the more he could see the difference between the teaching and the Christ and Karl Marx. And finally, this communist leader accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Later, he became a minister, and later he was able to plant many, many churches across the country of Greece. In 2004, during the Olympics, the Lord enabled me to take about 103 young people and pastors from America to Greece to evangelize the people attending the Olympics. And we met in one of the churches that this ex-communist leader established in Athens. You see, he took advantage of the grace of God, and he met the Lord Jesus. He met the Lamb of God. Another person, he was a Muslim. I was talking with him, and he looked at me and said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I said, yes. He said, how can Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God? How can God have a son? Well, I looked at him. I said, do you believe in angel Gabriel? You know, the Muslims believe that it was angel Gabriel who gave the Quran to Muhammad. He said, yes. I said, let me tell you what angel Gabriel said about Jesus. And I opened my gospel to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. This is what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I said, do you believe in John the Baptist? The Muslims, the Quran mentioned John the Baptist. He said, yes. I said, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, God from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I said, if angel Gabriel said that Jesus is the Holy Son of God, and God said that Jesus is my son, his son, who am I or you to say he is not the Son of God? You know, Bible says that Jesus is the eternal King. And the Bible says that every human being is going to bow before the Lord Jesus. You either bow before him, meet him as the Lamb of God, or number two, you will meet him as the Lion of Judah. And that's why it is our duty to go and introduce the Lord Jesus to our community and the world. Number two, as witnesses of Jesus Christ, we must have the correct attitude. Now, what kind of attitude we as witnesses should have? The answer, the same attitude that Christ had toward the people of his day. You know, sometimes we become discouraged because the people oppose us and reject our gospel. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus said, but when he saw the multitude, the Bible says, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad. Jesus ministered to his own people, to the multitude. Now, these multitude were Jews. Was the Lord Jesus ignorant of the Pharisees and the religious leaders? Of course not. He was not ignorant of that. Didn't he know that in few months they will crucify him? Of course he knew. Wasn't he aware that in few months the multitude are going to shout, crucify him, crucify him? Of course he knew that. Yet they rejected Jesus. Yet he loved them. And in spite of everything, he had compassion upon them. And this must be the testimony of the witness. Jesus said, then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. You know, my brothers, when I look at the world, I don't get angry. I feel sorry for the people of the world. Because these people believing the lie of the devil, and we are seeing the result. Here is a gentleman who wrote a book. The title of the book is The End of the World is Just Beginning, the Beginning. His name is Peter Zeihan. This is what he said. He said China in 2012 is the fastest aging society in human history. He said, in China, the population growth story is over and has been over since China's birth rate slipped below replacement levels in 1990s. The full replacement birth rate is 2.1 child per woman. As of early 2022, China's only released 2011-2020 census indicates that China's rate of birth is at 1.3, among the lowest of any people throughout human history. Can you follow me? Is it easy to follow me with that? You understand what I'm talking about? Now, here's what this gentleman said. He said, countries like Britain, Germany, Russia, and Northwestern Europe, Japan, Korea, and Canada, and Spain are following suit. In his book, he mentions that every year in Japan, 30,000 people die in their apartments. Nobody knows about them. And they find out about them from the smell that comes out of that apartment. I have a friend, his name is Lamar Effert. Lamar Effert is, his specialty is counseling. In his introduction to biblical counseling, this is what he wrote. He said, suicide has surpassed car crashes as the leading cause of injury death in America. He said, one third of the nation's employees suffer chronic debilitating stress. He said one in five of all high school aged children in the U.S. has been diagnosed with ADHD. He said millions of Americans are now using all sorts of psychiatric drugs and substances to manage their stress. Since abortion in America became legal in America, 60 million babies have been aborted. 22.5 million black babies have been aborted. Europeans stop procreating and saying that the future is doomed. That's why we don't have children. We don't want our babies to be born into the world. The rate of birth in Europe is 1.38 instead of being 2.11. You know, when we read all these statistics, that shouldn't make us angry. When I look at all this, I feel sorry for the people because they believe the lie of the devil instead of believing the word of God. And therefore, as witnesses, we need to have compassion on them, and we can express our compassion by carrying the gospel into those people. We need to love them as the Lord has loved them. Number one, as a witness, the witness must have the correct vision. We need to look at the world through the word of God, because Jesus is the eternal King, and eventually he's going to come and judge the wicked and establish his millennial kingdom. Number two, we have to have the same attitude that the Lord Jesus had, and that is we need to have compassion upon these people. They are walking in darkness and they need the light of Christ. But number three, we need to trust in the faithfulness of God. We need to trust in the faithfulness of God. You know, Jesus said that the devil is the god of this world. And when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus and said to him, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory if you bow down and worship me, Jesus did not dispute his fact. He didn't say, that's not true, those don't belong to you. But Jesus said, it's you who will have to bow and worship the Lord thy God. In other words, Jesus said, I am the Lord thy God. You bow and worship before me. But you know, the devil controlled this world, and we live in a strange land. This is not our citizenship is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we live from day to day, children of God, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we need to keep trusting in the faithfulness of God. You see, our responsibility is to go and plant the seed, realizing that God is faithful and he will produce the result. Abraham, who experienced the goodness of God, said what he has promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham believed that God is able to keep his word. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16. He said, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, referring to the Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they must hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus predicted that the day will come when the cross will be the center of attraction that will bring people from all over the world will come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Is this happening today? The answer is yes, yes. Let me share with you some of the what happened in my ministry in the year 2012. In January 2012, we went to Khartoum, Sudan. Now they have war. Four of our churches have been looted and attacked by the radical Muslim special forces who are targeting the evangelical churches there. But in 2012, the Lord enabled me to go to Khartoum. We had a week of revival. Many people came to Christ. But then at the end of the revival, we graduated 73 men and women from our Bible Institute there. Many of those men and women used to be Muslims who accepted Christ as their Savior. These men and women were drawn into the cross. They were drawn into the cross exactly as the Lord Jesus said. In Egypt, there was a terrorist organization. And what the terrorist organization did is that they encouraged their young men to marry Christian women and convert them to Islam. Sometimes they do that. And so this man, he was a member of this organization, met a Coptic Christian woman. The Coptic Christian will not be born again, but they were usually like Catholics or Orthodox. And he married her and he converted her into Islam. After he converted her into Islam, he looked at her. He said, why don't the Christians convert to Islam? Why do the Christians stay as Christians? And his wife said, I have no idea. He looked at her, he said, have you read the Bible? She said, I have never seen a Bible all my life. So he got curious and decided to buy a Bible and read it in order to see what about the Bible. So he began to learn about the Lord Jesus the way my brother Kareem did. And the more he knew about the Lord, the more he could distinguish between Jesus and Muhammad. And finally, he decided to accept Christ as his personal Savior. Now, let me show you what he did. As soon as he got saved, he went to his wife, whom he converted to Islam, witnessed to her, and he reconverted her back to Christianity. And in 2001, he and his wife surrendered to serve the Lord. And we put together a website in Egypt explaining who Jesus is. And 100,000 people connected with our website. 80% of those people were connected with us from from Saudi Arabia and the Gulf countries. You see, this man was drawn into the cross. Another person I met, an Indian, that same year, he was a Hindu. He came to America to be a civil engineer. He heard about the Lord Jesus and he got saved. He gave up his profession, went back to Canada to serve the Lord. You know, God is faithful. And Jesus said there will come a time when people will be drawn into the cross. I just received this email before I came to Canada, and it was a stunning email. I'd like to share it with you. He said, this email says about China. He said, every second they print a gospel. In China, every second they print a Bible. Every day, tens of people obey the Lord in water baptism. Every week, an underground church is established. The country that persecuted religions and thrown the faithful in jail will soon become the leader of Christianity, will become the leader of Christianity in the soon future. He said, China is becoming the largest printer of Bibles in the world. Decades ago, Christianity was outlawed in China and considered the enemy of the state. In 2014, Daily Telegraph magazine wrote an article that shocked the Chinese authorities. It stated that by the year 2030, the number of Chinese Christians will exceed 247 million people. Every year in China, evangelical Christians increase by 10%. The number of Christians in China soon will be the largest in the world, exceeding the number of Christians in the USA and Brazil. You know, it's not by our power. It's not by the abilities that we know and we are able to convince. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That year, 2012, I wrote an article about three Iraqis who came from Europe. They were saved in Europe. And when they came to Baghdad, they were very discouraged. Because they came and said, here is a city, the capital, there are 3 million people in this city, and no one knows about the Lord Jesus. They were so sad that the Iraqis were living in darkness. One day they were driving their car, and they were flipping the radio, and suddenly it landed on the New Testament Baptist radio broadcast. And suddenly they began to hear the music, the singing, the reading of the Word of God, and they were shocked that there is a witness in Baghdad preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. Today we have 6 radio stations, and we are about to put 2 of them, one of them in the Ur of Chaldea, where Apostle Paul, where Abraham was born, and another one, we put one in the city of Babylon. And we cover about 65% of Iraq. We 60% of Iraq hear the gospel, can hear the gospel, with about 4 million people listen daily to our radio station. And let me tell you something, Pastor Maher of Baghdad and Brother Kareem are friends, and they are partners, and they are part of our ministry reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. During my ministry, I met people from 5 continents, many different countries, Muslims, Catholics, Hindus, Buddhists, cults, communists, atheists. I met people from all over the world who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and came to know Him as their Savior. You see, God's Bible says God is faithful. God can keep His word. We as witnesses must trust in the faithfulness of God. You know, I believe yesterday I was talking with Brother James, and I told him, Brother James, and he agreed with me. You know, in Islam, Muhammad and Allah of Islam call upon the Muslims to fight for Him. But nowhere in the Bible God call upon His followers to fight for Him. In the Bible says, you love the people, you carry the gospel, and don't worry about the result. I will fight for you. And you know, at the end of the days, when the Antichrist will gather all the kings of the world to go to war against the Lord Jesus, you see, the devil always likes the crowds, and he likes to his followers to fight for him. And when all these armies arrive to Armageddon, the Bible says the Lord Jesus will respond, and He comes with His saints. Now, when the saints come with Jesus, and you and I will be with Him, is He bringing us to help Him fight the enemy? No, He is bringing us to help us see what He is capable of doing. And by the way, the battle of Armageddon, it's not going to be much of a battle, because the Lord Jesus is going to take the Antichrist, throw him into the lake of fire, takes the false prophet, throw him into the lake of fire, and takes the devil, the dragon, and throw him into the lake of fire. And we will be there to cheer and praise God for the amazing God that we have. Number one, we are the witnesses. And as witnesses, we need to have the right vision. And our vision will be right, and we will not be discouraged if we look at the events from the point of view of God and the Bible. Number two, we need to have the correct attitude. We need to have the same attitude of the Lord Jesus, who had compassion on the people who crucified Him. And number three, we need to trust in the faithfulness of God. I have a partner. He was from Lebanon, but he served the Lord at the moment in Jordan. When he was in Lebanon, he was a Bible student. And one day he was standing on the side of the road, and a Syrian, at that time in 1991, Syrian army occupied Lebanon, the way Russia now is trying to occupy Ukraine, but the Syrians occupied Lebanon, and the Lebanese did not like the Syrians by much. They didn't trust the Syrian army. Well, he was standing at the road, and here comes a Syrian, comes to him, and he asked him about a location. This young man said, okay, you go straight 2 blocks, turn right, go 2 blocks, then turn left 1 block, then turn right, and you will find the location. This man could not figure out what my friend was saying. Finally, my friend gave up because there was no way he could remember where the place was. He said, I'll go with you and show you where the place is. As they were walking together, the Syrian asked my friend, what do you do? He said, I am a Bible student and I'm studying the Bible. And we sometimes go and give Bibles to different people. So when they arrived to the location this stranger was looking for, my friend found out that this location was a Syrian army base. And this man that was asking for directions, he was a high-ranking officer in the Syrian army. Well, my friend said, good to talk with you, good to meet you. This is the place you're looking for. Goodbye. As my friend was leaving, this Syrian high-ranking officer, he said, excuse me, did you say you can preach? My friend said, yes. He said, would you consider coming to the base and preach to my soldiers? Well, my friend could not say no. She said, sure. So he brought him in. They sounded the trumpet. About 300 men stood up in line. And the officer said, preach to them. So my friend opened his Bible to John chapter 4, verse 20, chapter 5, verse 24, and he read, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And he began to explain about the Lord Jesus and how you can be saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus. And then he gives an invitation, and the 300 soldiers raise their hands, want to be saved. So after he finished his sermon, he went to the officer. He said, officer, thank you very much for letting me preach to your soldiers. And now I have to say goodbye. As he was leaving the base, the officer called him. He said, excuse me, did you say you have Bibles and you distribute Bibles to the people? My friend said, yes. He said, would you consider bringing us 300 Bibles and give our officers, each of our officer, a Bible? Well, my friend could not say no. So the next day, my friend had about 300-400 Bibles in his van, brought them to the base. So he goes there, look for the officer. The officer found him, called the soldiers, and he gave a Bible to every one of his officers. All of them were Muslims. So after he gave them that, and goes back to the officer. He says, officer, last night I enjoyed preaching to your soldiers, and I'm so glad I gave them Bibles. Thank you so much for letting me do that. Now I have to say goodbye to you. So as he was leaving, the officer called him again. He said, excuse me, come back. He said, the general heard about what you did, so he likes to meet you. Just imagine you're a Ukrainian and the Russian general wants to meet you. That doesn't give you good feeling. So as Lebanese, we couldn't say no. You see, he had to, if he says no, we don't know what will happen to him. So he said, sure. So he goes into the office of the general, the Syrian general. And inside the office, there were many officers listening to the instruction of the general. So the general saw my friend. He said, sit here. So he came and sat here. After he finished with the officers, and in the middle of the conversation, he looked at my friend. He said to my friend, he said, I heard that you preached to your people yesterday. What did you preach about? And my friend opened his Bible and said, I preached about from John chapter 5, verse 24. And he said, he recited the verse, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. The moment that the general heard that verse, his face changed. He looked at everybody in the room. He said, everybody get out, get out. So my friend stood up to leave with the rest. He said, no, you stay. Everybody else get out. So everybody left. And as soon as everybody left, that general began to cry. He looked at my friend. He began to cry. He said, a few years ago, my brother heard the gospel and got saved. He said, my brother came to my home in Syria to share the gospel of Jesus with me. And he shared the same verse that you used. And I took my pistol and shot and killed my brother because he converted into Islam. He said, this is the first time since I killed my brother, someone comes to my office and read John chapter 5, verse 24. You know, his brother planted the seed, but later God brought another man with the same gospel, the same sermon, in order to lead that man into Christ. You see, that's what Jesus said. He said, people from all over the world, Gentiles, will hear the gospel and will be drawn into the cross. Our duty is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and carry it into the world, knowing that God is faithful. You know, this morning I cried several times as I was listening to Brother Kareem's testimony. And you know, many of things he said I have experienced, how God led him, how God brought somebody. He was waiting at the airport, not knowing what to do. And next to him, there was a minister of the gospel who led him to the church. God led him to meet his wife. It's stunning, but God is there. How God, you should listen to his testimony because it is taped. It is amazing. Now I believe, you know, I wasn't sure what will I do here. I flew from Tennessee to yesterday, met Brother James, and we went and visited Brother Kareem, saw his wife and his children. And now God brought him here. Now why did God bring him to this church? I don't know, but God knows. And God knows that through him, maybe there is a whole community here who need to hear the gospel. You know, people all over the world are saying, come over and help us. Who shall I send and who will go for us? We know the gospel. We know the Bible. We know the truth. We have the power of God. If you and I don't reach them, nobody will reach them. And they will die, spend eternity in hell. The fact is, every human being is going to meet the Lord Jesus. You either meet him as the Lamb of God and be saved, or meet him as the Lion of Judah and be judged. Let me ask you today, are you saved? If you are not saved, why did you come here? If you are not born again, why are you here? The answer is, God brought you here. Because he knows that you need to hear the gospel. And I call upon you as I conclude my sermon. I call upon you. If you are not saved, please come today and meet the Lord Jesus. Accept him as your Savior. And if you are saved, remember, you are the witness. And the question is, what are you going to do about the gospel that God gave us? Let's bow our heads to pray. I wonder tonight, this morning, while every head is bowed, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you are not, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you are not saved, and you like to accept Christ as your Savior, would you raise your hand and put it down? Did you raise your hand? God bless you. Is there another person who would like to raise their hand and accept Christ as your Savior? Jesus died. And what an opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved. And if you are saved this morning, again, my question is, what are you going to do about your salvation? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming to die on the cross in order to save us. Lord, what a privilege, what a blessing to be your witnesses. We are the ambassadors for Christ in this world. You made us the light of this world. So Lord, help us to shine for you and help us to love you and prove our love by serving you. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the people around the world who have heard the gospel and are being saved. And Lord, bless our church here. Bless our pastor and his family. And may the light of Christ shine clearly through the testimony of every member here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.